Good morning. We are in Lesson 7, studying the Holy Spirit and revelation and inspiration. And last week an outline was handed out of that study. And so we'll be going through that beginning today. We have been speaking about who the Holy Spirit is and the Holy Spirit's work in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit and Jesus, and the Holy Spirit and the Apostles. It would be appropriate to then speak about the Holy Spirit and the early church, and then the Holy Spirit in us. And we will, but I thought this might be a good juncture to speak more about the Holy Spirit and revelation and inspiration, because we've already talked about the Holy Spirit's involvement in the revelation of the things in the Old Testament, and we've talked about the Holy Spirit's part in that which was spoken by Jesus and the apostles and what was confirmed through them. And so that, I think, naturally leads to this study about revelation and inspiration. And so we begin by noting this, that God has been speaking for a long time. And that's in some ways not very profound to say, but in other ways, if you really stop and think about it, it is quite profound that the God who created heaven and earth, because you and I go about our everyday just doing our everyday things. And much of the world, I'm not saying percentage-wise, but much of the world goes about not even thinking that there is a God. And yet, it's in Him we live and move and have our very being. So He's making it possible that we are doing what we're doing, and that the world is continuing like it is, and He's upholding all of that. And yet, in addition to all of that, He has been speaking to mankind all the way back to Genesis chapter 2. I'm not saying He's speaking to you and me personally today, but He has spoken to mankind all the way back to Genesis chapter 2. How can anyone know His mind except He speak it? How can you know My mind except I speak it? I may demonstrate a few things that you may know something about Me, but you don't know My thoughts until I express them to you. And we don't know God's thoughts except they've been expressed to us in some way. And you and I use language. God has spoken in such a way and breathed out His word in such a way that men spoke language. They spoke it in words that you and I can understand. And I guess it's just a sublime thought to think that God communicates to us, and He's made sure that we have just what we need in communication from Him. And so that's just really where I wanted to begin, is that God has been speaking to mankind for a long time. And we go back to Genesis chapter 2, where God spoke and told Adam that which He expected of him, what was good, and what he could do and not do. In Matthew chapter 19, I guess this one's not in here, but in Matthew chapter 19 and verses 4 through 6, Matthew 19, 4 through 6, Jesus is questioned about divorce for just any reason, and He answered and said to them, "Have you not read that He who made them at the beginning made them male and female?" Matthew 19, 4. "And said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let not man separate." When those words were recorded in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife," they are not attributed in those verses to God specifically. In other words, earlier in the chapter, the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone." We get to verse 23 and Adam speaks, and now verse 24 is simply this, "Therefore man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Who's speaking? God is speaking. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew 19:5, and said, he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said. God said this. But he said it by someone's pen, so to speak. It has been recorded and written. God's been speaking for a long time. Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 through 4 tells us in a nutshell, at least for the Jew, going back to all the way back to Old Testament times, the way God communicated with the fathers, and I believe that would mean the Jewish fathers. The Hebrew writer says, God who at various times and in different ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having obtained so much better, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. All right, so God speaking in various ways, different ways, at various times, to the fathers by the prophets, in these last days speaking to us by his Son. These verses 1 and 2 speak of God using the instrumentality or the agency of another to speak. God, not that God didn't speak directly sometimes, but here the Hebrew writer says he spoke to the fathers by the prophets. And who is a prophet? What's the definition of a prophet? A mouthpiece of God. Simply a mouthpiece of God. He spoke unto the fathers by the prophets. He's speaking to us in these last days by his Son, through his Son, through the agency, the instrumentality of his Son. That's who he used, to whom to deliver what we need in these last days, in the last times. In Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verses 18 to 19, this is a specific prophecy that Moses spoke. In Deuteronomy 18 and beginning in verse 15, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear, according to all that you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire anymore, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. Look at the God using mankind, or in this case, this particular prophecy of Jesus, because Peter says so in Acts chapter 3 and refers to this. But the idea of a prophet, that God puts his words, God's words, in the prophet's mouth. He speaks the things that I command him. And in this case, with the Lord Jesus, it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. And as I said, Peter makes application to Jesus there. Just the idea there, I want us to see, of God speaking by means of men. God speaking by means of men. The Holy Spirit's not mentioned here, but we'll get to that in a moment. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 20, or 2 Peter should be, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 20 and 21, We begin in verse 19. We also have the prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the one who moved them to speak the things that wasn't separate and apart from God. The Holy Spirit is deity. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The word, and if you have your outline, the word here for moved is the idea of being borne along like a ship with its sails, borne, which would be borne by the wind in that case. But in this case, being borne or moved along by the Holy Spirit. I have in your outline a quote from somebody that the word literally means to pick up or to bear along to a goal of the bearer's own choosing. And that's significant because that shows that God was using these men to give His message to mankind. It wasn't the men saying, well, let me give my message to people, and then God jumping on the bandwagon and saying, well, okay, let it be this. That's not that picture. The picture of being borne along is the idea of the one bearing them along and moving them along, that they're going, this one is going to the goal of the bearer's own choosing, the one who's doing that. That's the way I understand that. That's significant about the Holy Spirit and God moving men, Holy Spirit moving men to write that which they wrote. The idea then we're speaking about is that God's words are in men's mouths, and we saw that back in Deuteronomy 18 and verse 18. That's what it said. In 2 Samuel 2:32, just as a few examples here. 2 Samuel 2 and verse 32. That's not the one. Let's see. Going to be later. I have to get back to you on that one. 23 and verse 2. 2 Samuel 23 and verse 32. Or verse 2. That's what happened. The 3 got before it. 2 Samuel 23 and verse 2. These are the last words of David, beginning in verse 1. Thus says David, the son of Jesse, thus says the man raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob and the sweet psalmist of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and His word was on my tongue. This idea that the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and as New Testament writers quoted Scripture sometimes, like Peter in Acts chapter 2, he spoke. They would speak about this idea of the Lord speaking by the mouth of. And David, in essence, is saying that. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, by the agency of David's mouth. His word was on my tongue. The God of Israel said. And so David speaks these things. Acts 1 and verse 16, we saw a similar idea. Acts 1 and 16, where the apostles are choosing a replacement for Judas, and they say, men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled. This is Peter. Had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas. The Holy Spirit spoke. Did God speak? Yes, God spoke. Did the Holy Spirit speak? Yes, the Holy Spirit spoke. The Holy Spirit moved them. And David spoke too. David, the author, is often given credit for speaking too. These are not contradictions. They're taking everything that is said about it and putting it together. And then we understand it to be true by agency. In other words, when David spoke, we don't imagine then that God literally, we were hearing his voice at this particular decibel level when he spoke. We're hearing David's voice, but God is speaking through him. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 9, the Lord put his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. I'm putting my words in your mouth. What does that say then about the certainty, the truth of the words? They are. They are most certain and most true. Zechariah 7 and 12 is given as another example here. So this idea then is presented in Hebrews 1 and verses 1 and 2 of God's words being in men's mouths through the agency of men. In these last days then, back in Hebrews 1 and verse 2, he has spoken to us through his Son. So we better hear him. All right. Does anyone have any thoughts before we go on to this next point here? Well, I put this, if you have your outline, there's a third page of paper in there that's an addendum, just to show these different ways that the writers of Scripture would say. For example, Paul would say the Scripture said something, but back in Genesis 12, it was God who spoke to Abraham. But the Scripture said this. In fact, in the New King James, in Galatians 3:8, Paul says the Scripture preached. Romans 9 and verse 17, the Scripture said this, but God said it. Jesus said that God said something. Moses wrote that Scripture. It's attributed to him, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, to his authorship. The Holy Spirit said, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 17. Let's look at this one. Hebrews 3 and 17. Should be 7. Hebrews 3 and 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you'll hear my voice. And who wrote that? Someone in the Psalms. But who said it? The Holy Spirit said it. Is it right to say that? Yes. By inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that's what is said regarding it. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, the Holy Spirit said it. The writer of the psalm wrote it, said it, he wrote it. The Lord God said some things, as is attributed to him in Acts chapter 4 and verses 24 to 26. But God, but it is said it, that God said it by the mouth of David. By the Holy Spirit, by the mouth of David. If you look at the New American Standard or the American Standard Version, then even the Holy Spirit is mentioned in there. The Holy Spirit spoke by the Scripture, spoke the Scripture, Acts 1:16, by the mouth of David. David said something in Mark 12:35. That's attributed to him. Jesus said so, but he said it by the Holy Spirit. So God said, the Scripture said, the Holy Spirit said, by the mouth of all of this. How can it be? It's because of God's use of agency or instrumentality. And that's going to be important to us when we get into a later lesson. Because the Holy Spirit is said to dwell in the Christian. If the Holy Spirit can do something and God can do something by agency or instrumentality, when we start to study how the Holy Spirit dwells within us, we're going to find agency, instrumentality, a way in which he does that. All right. So, just as an example of this idea, I'm a little bit off the subject of Holy Spirit here, but just as an example of agency and instrumentality. The Bible says, by inspiration, that God saved Noah. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. But Noah was saved through water. Peter also says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. So how is it that God saved Noah, but Noah was saved through water? Well, yeah, not to be too simple here, but God saved Noah through the instrument of water. It's both true. It's all true. Paul writes that Christ came and preached peace to the Gentiles. Now, just like everything in the Bible, we have to understand what he means. Does he mean that Christ returned back to the earth after his ascension into heaven and then came and preached to the Gentiles? Yet he is attributed for not just preaching to the Gentiles, but coming and preaching to the Gentiles. How did Jesus come and preach to the Gentiles? He did through the agency of men, particularly the apostles, and then those who followed them and continued preaching the word. Christ, by the Spirit, preached to the disobedient in the days of Noah. This is in 1 Peter 3. But not personally. But we find out from something else Peter wrote that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Christ, by the Spirit, preached to the disobedient in the days of Noah. Through whom? The agency of Noah, who was a preacher of righteousness. It's attributed to God, Christ having done this by the Spirit. Again, here's the idea of agency and instrumentality. God spoke, and so when we go back to the things we're saying, God spoke by the Holy Spirit, by the mouth of prophets, and of course it was written. And the very word Scripture refers to the idea of written, or write, has the idea of that which is written. And so God spoke by the Holy Spirit, by the mouth of prophets, and that was written. And we read that. That's what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 20 through 21. When he says it was not of any private interpretation, we discussed that a few weeks ago, but that has the idea of of one's own unloosing or explanation. It was not their origin. In fact, verse 21 explains what he means by interpretation when he says, but men spoke as they were moved. Men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So Scripture came from God by the agency of the Holy Spirit through human instrumentality, is a way we could say it when we put all of this together. Does anyone have any thoughts or comments or questions about that? When we think about revelation and inspiration, do you think of maybe the same thing or something real closely to the same thing? I think it's easy to think of them being just the same thing or something, but revelation and inspiration are two different words describing something, and we're going to see that as we go through here. The word revelation, and this is in your outline, but revelation is an uncovering of something that was formerly hidden. And this is seen in Ephesians chapter 3, because Paul writes how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, which I wrote before in a few words. We read mystery and we think of a good novel or something that has a good plot. That's not this idea of mystery. Mystery just simply means something that has been hidden at one time. That which is hidden. Revelation is the unraveling and the revealing and the uncovering of that which was once hidden. And so hear this definition: an uncovering, properly, a laying bare, making naked, a disclosure of truth, instruction concerning divine things before unknown, before they were before unknown, especially those relating to Christian salvation, This is a writing from someone who's not a Christian, but a Greek expert. Anyway, those relating to salvation, given to the soul by God Himself or by the ascended Christ, especially through the operation of the Holy Spirit. And he looks at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. The thing I just want us to see, that revelation is an uncovering of that which was formerly hidden. This idea of uncovering, I believe, is in what we've read in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 20 through 21. Men spoke and things were uncovered. The prophets uncovered things. And who was behind this? God. They spoke, holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The prophecy didn't come of their own will, their own choosing, their own study, that kind of thing. That's not where it's coming from. It's coming from God. He's revealing and unveiling truth to them. When we look at 1 Peter chapter 1, we find out that prophets did not even know what all fulfillment then would come about from the things that they spoke. Verse 10 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. So angels, not even having the knowledge, they've got a desire to look into some things, is the way I would understand that. But the prophets is what I want to think of. The prophets then not even seeing what the end was of all this that they were saying. But yet, truth was being revealed through them. Ephesians 3 and verses 1 through 5, we mentioned, I mentioned this just briefly, but if we'll go there and read that, Ephesians 3, 1 through 5, we get this picture then of God revealing His truth to the apostles and prophets. Ephesians 3, 1 through 5, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation He made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets." The Holy Spirit involved in the revelation then. So we saw that in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit involved in the revelation, the revealing of truth, uncovering of truth, such that it could be spoken through these men or written. And Paul received that. We think about the apostles being promised the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but Paul wasn't present there in Acts 2. And so years later, here we have him in Acts 9. But he defends the fact that he received revelation. He does right here, and in Galatians chapter 1 and verses 11 and 12, he says, "I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me, preached by me, is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." Ephesians 3, revealed by the Holy Spirit. And the revelation He made known to me. So Paul received revelation by the Holy Spirit just like the other apostles. I say just like. I mean, they received it and he did too. That's the point. they received revelation and he did too. Nobody taught him that stuff. He learned it through revelation, received it by revelation. And then that's significant, isn't it? That we can trust his words. Because these are what? This is what God wants us to have. They're truth. They're unerring. They're all truth. Any thoughts before we move on? See, yes?
I'm getting confused here.
Okay.
Throughout the years that I've been in Bible classes and Bible studies and stuff, it's Paul said this, Peter said this, but apparently they didn't say it. It was the Holy Spirit that said it. So, I mean, God didn't say anything to anybody, but it was the Holy Spirit that said it.
The Holy Spirit was speaking through these people. God was speaking through them. Just like, if we go back here, recognizing...
I'm just having a tough time grasping. I mean, all these teachers were wrong. All these professors were wrong when they said that Peter wrote this book and Paul wrote this book. It wasn't Paul that wrote the book. It was the Holy Spirit that wrote the book.
Well, according
so why is Peter and Paul getting credit for writing the book if they didn't write the book?
Yeah,
it's the
if,
Holy Spirit.
Okay. If we say that Peter wrote it and we do not give any credit to the fact that God spoke through him.
I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit didn't have something to do with it. But from what I'm understanding that you're saying, this was all said through them by the Holy Spirit. So then it was the Holy Spirit that did it and not them.
So they all had a part in it. They had a part in as much as, for example, Noah preached the gospel, yet it is said that Christ preached to him. The Spirit, Christ preached to not him. Christ spoke to the men in that were disobedient in the times of Noah. God, Christ, by the Spirit, spoke to them, preached to them. He preached by the agency of Noah. In other words, Christ did not literally come to earth and preach to Noah's generation. Now, it's the same thing as if in the case of Ephesians chapter 2. Why don't we turn there in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians 2 and verse 17. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who are near. Now, it's obviously necessary that we determine who the he is. But the he is not a human being here. The he here is Christ. The he in Ephesians 2 and 17 by context is Christ. Christ came and preached peace to the Gentiles, to you Ephesians.
So that was Christ or that was the Holy Spirit?
So, well, just a moment though. Christ came and preached, but he preached through the agency of men, like the apostles. So did Paul preach and did Peter preach? Paul and Peter preached. But is Paul giving Christ credit for coming and preaching to them? I have no other way to read that. Christ came and preached to them. Now, regarding whether we should say Peter wrote this and Paul wrote this, the men of the Bible speak in those terms. Isaiah said, why did one of the apostles say Isaiah as Isaiah said? Why did he say that? Not a trick question.
Isaiah said it.
Because Isaiah said it. If you'll turn to the book of Isaiah, which Isaiah is attributed to having written, Isaiah said it. And yet, at the same time, the writers will say that the Holy Spirit said. The Holy Spirit said it by the mouth of Isaiah. Now, I wouldn't say that that Isaiah said it by the mouth of the Holy Spirit. That's not the way it's worded. In other words, Isaiah did not come up with it, and then the Holy Spirit said it. The Holy Spirit is the one moving them to write and to speak these things through the human instrumentality. So is it wrong to say that Peter wrote this and Paul said? It is not, because that's the way the Bible speaks. The Bible speaks that way. But if people think that that means Paul wrote it of his own accord and that he's not moved by the Holy Spirit, then there is a misunderstanding there. Because the Holy Spirit, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's all God-breathed. So, what did we see back in Deuteronomy 18? I'll put my words in his mouth. You mean he's going to be a robot? That's not what he meant. But is that prophet going to speak God's words? That's what the Bible says. I can't deny that. They spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. All Scripture is God-breathed. So, to your question, no, they're not wrong. They're not wrong all that time, but what's in our thinking about it? If our thinking is that this is just a man named Paul writing this, and he happened to have some spiritual gifts too, maybe what he wrote is what God wanted me to have, maybe it's not what he wanted me to have, maybe God wasn't working through him, the Holy Spirit working through him to write this, then we need to stop and say, hang on a minute. That's not what the Bible is teaching us about prophets and apostles. I don't know how else to... that. We could keep discussing it. I don't know if that helps, Troy.
No,
or
to me, kinda, no. I mean, what I'm hearing you say is the Holy Spirit did this. And this was done through the Holy Spirit. And God breathed the words through this man by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Okay, was it God? Was it the Holy Spirit? Which one was it? It can't be both of them.
Well, the Holy Spirit is God. So.
No. God,
you mean the Father,
and the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. They're separate people to me.
So, when we read God, in some places, I mean, we try to read God and we try to understand, is this speaking of the Father or the Holy Spirit or Jesus or the Son? But you know, the Holy Spirit is a member of the Godhead. This is beyond my understanding. Maybe someone else can explain it. But God spoke, but he spoke by or through the means of the Holy Spirit. And he spoke through the means of men's mouths. I don't mean two separate things then. Like he spoke through the Holy Spirit here and over here. God spoke by the Holy Spirit through men's mouths, through the mouths of the prophets.
So was it the Holy Spirit or was it God that met Moses on the mountain?
Well,
was that God the Father or was that God the Holy Spirit that spoke to Moses on the holy mountain?
God met him on the mountain, but the tablets were written by the finger of God and written by the Holy Spirit. I mean, I don't try to slice and dice that so much. I just know that God here's what the Bible says. That's what matters. It doesn't matter what I say, right? God said it. Take this
one. Well, it does matter what if you're up there teaching it, so it does matter.
Oh, totally. But I mean from the standpoint of accepting it. Doesn't matter what I say as far as accepting it. This is what we can turn here. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. Let's go through these. Because these will help us see that, we can't deny. It's one of these things for me, Troy. It's one of these things I can't fully comprehend or understand. I just know it to be true. Like someone says, well, how is God's using another member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, to operate through it? I can't put my hands on that, but I just know it based on this. But let's look, Galatians 3 and verse 8. The scripture, Paul writing, there I go, right? Paul writing here, he says, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed." Now, to preach is to proclaim. So the scripture proclaimed something. The scripture proclaimed something. And what it proclaimed was, quote, "In you all the nations shall be blessed." Now, for you and me, that's written here in the scriptures. And for the people of Paul's day, they had the Septuagint scriptures. They had scripture, not widely distributed, of course. But then if we go to Genesis 12, to which Paul refers, all of these are a little bit different up here on the slide, but the Lord said to Abram, these things. So I believe in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I believe that's what we saw in Galatians 3:8. Is that right? In you all the nations shall be blessed. That's chapter 12 of Genesis and verse 3. Who's speaking? The Lord is speaking. Who's preaching? The scriptures are preaching here. The scriptures were preaching the gospel in Genesis 12 and verse 3. That's a summation. That's a paraphrase. But the scriptures preached the gospel to Abraham. Quote, so the scriptures preached, but the Lord said. There's no contradiction there. And maybe that one's not hard to swallow because, well, I can read here, the Lord said, and this is the scriptures. But do you see that the scriptures preached, but the Lord said? Well, which is it? It's both. It's through the agency of the scriptures. The Lord, this is preached. It was spoken by the Lord and preached by Scripture. Scripture meaning that which is written. This was recorded. Anyway, let's go to an example in... maybe this one wouldn't surprise us. Romans 9:17. Paul says, the Scripture says this. And if you go back to see where he's pulling it from, it's something that God said. Okay, it's kind of similar to the first one there. But here we have Jesus said, well, we started out here in the class, but Jesus said that God said something in Genesis 2 and verse 24. Moses wrote it. It's not attributed even in Genesis 2:24 to the Lord saying it. There's much written in specifically like the Lord spoke. But who's saying this? Who's saying that for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife and the two shall become flesh? Who said that? you know, God said it. Does the scripture attribute God said? But it doesn't say that. But God said it. Okay. That one's probably not getting to the point yet that we're at here. But, you know, Hebrews 3 and verse 17. This is a good example of, you know, what you're asking about, Troy. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 17. The Hebrew writer is quoting Psalm 95, I believe it is. Here, and he says that the Holy Spirit says, and then verse 7, Hebrews 3, 7, therefore as the Holy Spirit says. And so, we say, well, I mean, if I'm just new to this, you say, well, where'd the Holy Spirit say that? Did he say it to somebody? But fortunately we have Bibles that have certain common references, and we go back and see that this is in Psalm 95. Psalm 95.
I mean, maybe I just see things too cut and dry. You know, where it says the Holy Spirit said, then that tells me the Holy Spirit said that. When it says Jesus said, then it's Jesus that said that, not the Holy Spirit, but it was Jesus that said that. And where it says God said this, then it was God the Father that said this, and not the Holy Spirit. That's the way I understand it. That's the way I can see it, because I don't know, maybe that's just my mindset, because that's, I have to have lines drawn like that for me to understand it. I can't have a line where it says Jesus said this, but it was the Holy Spirit that said this. If it was the Holy Spirit that said it, then it should say that the Holy Spirit said that and not Jesus that said that. That's the only way I can understand it.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm way off kilter, but
sometimes the Bible will say, and we'll see this, but we'll say the Holy Spirit spoke by the mouth of David. So that's an example where the Holy Spirit is attributed, the speaking is attributed to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit spoke.
That's right.
But it says then by the mouth of David.
But it's still the Holy Spirit speaking. It's not David that's speaking.
But it's attributed to David having written it. And David spoke or wrote this thing. So it gets back to this agency through whom something is done. It wouldn't be right, to your point, it wouldn't be right for us to say, well, you know, Jesus, it would be right to say, Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. It would not be right to then say, well, Paul said that. Paul didn't say it. Jesus said it. But when Jesus began to preach, he referred to an Old Testament prophecy that said that he had the Holy Spirit upon him, and by the Holy Spirit he was going to teach. And we looked at that in that study. That by the Holy Spirit he taught these things. By the Holy Spirit he performed these miracles. Did the Holy Spirit do them? The Holy Spirit did the miracles through the agency of Jesus. You know, do we then not attribute them to God? The miracles are attributed to God. Attested by God to you by miracles. Acts chapter 2. So, while we have to be, I'm not going to attribute what Peter said to Paul or Jesus. There is this thing that all Scripture is God-breathed and given by the Holy Spirit. Spoken, written through men's mouths. Not God. I hate saying things like this, but because I believe God is omnipotent, I believe He could have written this with He could have just said it and it would appear in black ink. This is what I'm trying to say. Okay? But he used the agency of men to do the, to speak these things and then to have them written down. But yes, Holden.
So, I mean, my kind of take on it is because we do have these three separate Christs, right? We have the Holy Spirit, God, and Jesus, but they still all make up God, one God. It's kind of like a human, right? We all have different parts of our body. We have hands and feet and a mouth. But this is still me. This is still Holden. This hand isn't something else. This is still Holden, ultimately, right? So whether it's God or whether it's the Holy Spirit or whether it's Jesus speaking, it's still God, overall. It's still the one God who is speaking. And, to kind of address the point of, whether or not it's like David or whether it's God speaking, we have to think about the fact that, humans, we have free will, right? And this might be inspired by God. The Holy Spirit might be working through them. But we could choose not to say that, right? I mean, there are scriptures that talk about not dousing the Holy Spirit's fire. So we can refuse and reject the Holy Spirit, which is not something we want to do, but we can do that. We have that choice. And so these people are choosing to allow God to work through them and choosing to allow that. So in that way, it is God who is putting these words, to some extent in their mouth, but they're the ones who are still accepting what he's saying and allowing God to work through them. And so in that case, you could attribute it to them because they're the ones who are allowing God to work through them to say that.
Thank you, Holden. John?
That's exactly what I was going to say, but the only thing I want to add to that, which I would have probably said just about like he did, was that you've got the Father, God. You've got Jesus, God. You've got the Holy Spirit, God. They are all God. They all are separate beings, but they are one, and they all agree, they are, and Jesus said, they are in agreement. And so it didn't matter really which one would have said it anyway. It would have been the exact same thing because they're all in agreement. They are one. They all are all God, too.
All right. There is unity there for sure. And we're about out of time, but we were just there in Hebrews 3:17, where the writer of Hebrews, here I go, the writer of Hebrews, but you know what I believe. The writer, about where that's coming from. The writer of Hebrews said that the Holy Spirit said this. But who wrote that was the writer of the Psalms. Unless you, of course, believe that the Holy Spirit literally did throughout, without any human agency, write some of this. I've not heard that before.
That tells me that the Holy Spirit told them what to write, and the Holy Spirit dictated to them what to write. That was not their writing. That was the Holy Spirit's writing. But the Holy Spirit could not hold the pen and paper to put it down. That he had to use this human being to do so.
The mouthpiece of God. Yeah. If we think about a mouthpiece, the mouthpiece is not the person. It's doing the speaking. If a man is a mouthpiece of another, and I skipped over this one, but Moses and Aaron, but if a man is a mouthpiece of another, then he's speaking for this other person. He's speaking what he wanted spoke. Moses didn't want to go to Pharaoh and speak to him. Who was his mouthpiece? Aaron. God. Here's an agency, a bunch of agency being used through there. And God would give Moses the words, and Moses would give it to Aaron, and Aaron could speak it. Aaron was his mouthpiece, and Moses his mouthpiece. Someone had their hand up. Was it you, Diana?
Yeah, I was just going to say, in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, right, It's all given to the inspiration of God. So it's not necessarily word by word dictated, but inspired by God to write the truth. So we still see these men's personalities and their care for the people that they're writing to, we still see their role or their input in what they write, but it's inspired by God and that it's the truth.
So we're going to get to that, and we haven't even gotten inspiration yet because we're just speaking about Revelation, but it's in your outline. So I'd like you to read ahead about that. But, you know, when we talk about inspiration and when we talk about the idea of the scriptures being God breathed, well, you'll see what I've presented in here based on what I understand from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And that is that God can use a man's personality and his style and his type of wording and all of that, and he can still be the author of the words. He's the author of the words. It gets back to this idea of no man knows the thoughts of another man except he do what? Tell him in what? In words, which are our vehicles of communication. I cannot just transmit a thought to you without words. I mean, I can transmit some things to you without words. I understand that. You can look at my body behavior and all this kind of stuff. I understand. But you don't really know my thought until I've expressed it in the vehicle of words. And God has been using the vehicle of words to express His mind all the way back to Genesis 2. He's been using words. That's our vehicle of communication. So that's why, you know, we speak of this idea of the Bible being word inspired, as opposed to the idea, I'm getting ahead, but the idea of it just being thought inspired. Well, God gives a man a thought, and he'll just put it in his own words. And you and I, let's just hope it ends up to be exactly the truth. Yeah, that's not what the Bible presents as a picture of what happened. Just maybe read ahead in the outline so then we can have, you know, more discussion next week on the subject. But right now, just this, where we got to here was just the idea of revelation. Just maybe this slide is in the wrong place, but the idea of revelation, the revealing or uncovering of truth. And I'll leave you with this one thought, unless it creates controversy. But is just think about this. Is everything in the Bible a revelation from God to that writer? Is everything a revelation? Read 1 Corinthians 1:11 and decide whether that was a revelation, whether that was a revealing of something that was before hidden. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 11. Was that hidden and thus revealed? That's different than saying, is it inspired of God? And that's the distinction we want to see in this lesson.